exercise, wrapping your arms around your neck, and special things like that, which is a form of yoga. But the subject of yoga is a lot bigger and a lot broader than just physical exercises, although the physical exercise is a part of it. So really this term yoga is a Sanskrit term. Sanskrit is the ancient language of India, or really like Southeast Asia actually. And this term yoga means to link with God. This is what yoga means. It doesn't just mean physical exercises. So in other words, any process which links you with God in one way, in another way, in any way, any process that links you with God can be seen as a process of yoga. In other words, of course, Christianity and all the different subdivisions, NGK and the Catholics and the Orthodox, etc., etc., actually, they're forms of yoga. They do not know that. They never really thought about it like that. But actually, it's the case. And Islam, the Muslim religion, it's a form of yoga. Because these are all different ways of linking with God, connecting with God. So, bhakti yoga is one of those forms of yoga. But it is, it's kind of, you could say, a broader or more all-encompassing form of yoga. Just to give you a little idea about yoga in a general sense, well, you've got those physical exercises there, you know, that's a well-known approach or type of yoga. But technically, that's called Hatha yoga. Hatha, basically Hatha means physical exercises. So the idea is Hatha yoga means you link with God through the physical body. You could say really through tuning the body and really getting the body, the physical systems, to harmonize with the greater systems of life, of the world, of the universe. And in that way, harmonize with God, connect with God on the physical level. In simple terms, that's the idea there. Then another form of yoga, dhyana yoga, dhyana. D-H-Y-A-N-A. Dhyana means to meditate. To meditate in the sense of focus your thinking. Think about something in particular and really focus on that and really absorb your thinking in that. And of course, dhyana yoga, we're linking with God, so in that context, dhyana would mean that you meditate on God, you think about God, which you can do in different ways. What he looks like, if you know what he looks like, if you have some idea. What he does, how he thinks, what sort of person he is, and you know, these are all different ways you can think about God with the mind. So that's dhyana yoga. We're linking with God through the mental processes and focusing the mind, like pointedly, you could say, focusing the mind on God. Then another step higher, actually, because we've got our physical body, But higher than the physical body is the mind, the conscious mind. So now on a higher level, at least according to the tradition of yoga, which is found in what are called the Vedic scriptures. Vedic, V-E-D-I-C. Vedic scriptures of India, or not just India actually, but Southeast Asia. It's definitely broader than just the country India of today. So a higher form then is called Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga, or no, before we go on to Ashtanga, Sankhya. Sankhya means to analyze intellectually using your intelligence. In other words, not just a mental phenomenon, but an intellectual, a function of the intelligence. In the Vedic literatures, Vedic scriptures, a distinction is made between the mind and the intelligence. They're not just two parts of the one, like, sort of psychological aspect of our being, but they're distinguished from each other. So Sankhya then, Sankhya Yoga would mean that instead of just thinking of God, you know, he looks like this, or maybe he does that, and he has certain qualities, just like contemplating thinking, that you actually try to analyze philosophically and really try to understand and really get into, like, you could say, figuring things out in regard to God. So that's a higher level again. Then, well, there are actually many forms of yoga. There's really many. And each type engages a certain part of our being, the body, the mind, the intellect, like we said. But now another higher form of yoga is called Karma Yoga, K-A-R-M-A. You may have heard this term before. It's a pretty well-known term, Karma. And, well, in a general sense, Karma means action and reaction. You do something, like, you know, for argument's sake, you do good, you get good as a consequence. You do bad, you get bad. Karma. What goes around comes around, they say sometimes. In other words, action, you know, I don't want to sort of get too into like complex philosophical concepts, but action according to the Vedic literatures, Vedic scriptures, or say any particular action, consists of the action and the reaction. Not like they're two things. The action's one thing, the reaction's another thing. And, you know, if they're really two independent things, then arguably you could possibly do the action and avoid the reaction. If somehow, you know, you dodged your way around it cleverly. Or, I don't know, maybe you could buy your way out of it. Or something like that. Yeah. But the basic idea, in very simple terms, is that action involves the action and its reaction. And once you've done the action, you're going to get the reaction. And because they're two parts of one thing, they're not just two things. And sometimes we give the example of, you have a coin. You have the head side and the tail side, and you cannot say, well, look, I'll take the head side. You take the tail side. Well, I don't want the tail side. Once you've got the head side, you've got the tail side, because they're two parts of one thing. So, but, okay, Now, in terms of karma yoga, linking with God, the idea is a little different. In this context, you know, like in any language, oftentimes words have more than one meaning. So in Sanskrit also, it's a highly sophisticated language. So karma, along with the general meaning of action and reaction as one unit, karma can also be taken to mean your occupational duties. You're all students, are you?
Yes.
You've got uniforms on. Okay. So what are you studying?
Somatology.
Wow.
Okay.
And you also, is it? Somatology, all of you. Okay. What does that involve?
It's about health and skincare, but then in first year, we're considered as beauticians.
Oh, okay.
It's a way of healing the body.
Okay, I get the idea. Okay, fine. So you qualify, you know, we pray to God. You work hard, you qualify. Usually not everyone qualifies, as you probably know, but we hope you do. And so now you're working as somatologists, I guess that would be correct. Yeah, in that sort of field. So that's now your occupational duty, your work. So karma yoga would mean, in the context of somatology, that you do that, but as a service to God. So in that way, you're linking with God through your natural occupational duty. You see, it's a simple principle, basically. You could be a doctor, you could be a lawyer, you could be literally anything, actually. Any sort of occupation. But when you try to dedicate that for the pleasure of the Lord, it becomes karma yoga, linking with God through your occupational duty. So here now, this is bhakti yoga. You see here, look at that. Doesn't it look nice? Sure. I'm impressed. Bhakti Yoga Society. So what is bhakti then? We're linking with God here through bhakti. What is it? So like I mentioned a little earlier, bhakti yoga is a more, like a broader, more all-encompassing form of yoga. In other words, it contains elements from all the other forms of yoga. Yeah. It's not exactly like just a synthesis, you just mix everything together. But in a sense, you could say it embodies the best of all the different forms of yoga. And literally, the word bhakti means serving God in a mood of love and devotion. See, Sanskrit language, I said, it's a sophisticated language. In order to express the meaning of this little word, it's only six letters, bhakti, but we need, it's more or less a sentence to actually get the idea. What is it? What are we talking about? So the idea is then that one dedicates one's life's activities, including one's work, but not only one's work, including one's family, and you know, even one's, you know, if you're a bit of a sports person, even some sporting activities, and just your whole way of life. In the main scripture, the Vedic scriptures, it's called Bhagavad Gita. There's a verse which expresses it quite nicely in Sanskrit. Yat karoshi, yad ajnasi, yaj jahoshi dadasi yat. You're not so up on Sanskrit. No problem. But it means, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away in charity, just in other words, basically just your life, you do that as an offering to the Lord in a mood of love and devotion. Not just because it's your work and you just, you know, you just do your work because it's your work, you've got to earn your money and so on. And you may not be sort of like emotionally devoted and dedicated to your work. But yeah, it's a matter of dedicating one's being, one's life, one's self, including one's heart, the essence of our being, the seat of our feelings and emotions, dedicating like this in the service of the Lord. And it includes doing your duty. It doesn't exclude it, it includes it. But it includes, like we said, elements from the other activities. Like one of the main things, which is part of Bhakti Yoga, which is really nice, and I think possibly we may do a little, you know, a little later on as we, as our program develops here right now, is there are different forms of meditation. We mentioned meditation, right? Dhyana, yoga. So meditation is there in as part of Bhakti Yoga, and even different forms of meditation, actually. But the main form of meditation in Bhakti Yoga, it actually involves singing. Singing. Spiritual sound vibrations, which in Sanskrit are called mantras. Have you heard the term mantra before? Anyway, mantra, Sanskrit word. Man means the mind, and tra means to deliver. To deliver the mind from its absorption in worldly things and just, you know, just what's going on in life, the politics, the economics, and health issues, and just day-to-day life, rising above it. Through the potency of spiritual sound vibration. So that's really nice. And my prediction is when we do that, you're going to like it a lot. Okay? Because we do it all over. We do it all over with all sorts of people. And people really like it. Singing and dancing. It's quite something. And another part of it, which is really nice, and I mean now, really, extremely nice. I mentioned that verse, Yat Karoshi Yad Ajnasi. Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, sort of intrinsically, implicitly, within Bhakti Yoga, is a process of eating, and cooking and eating. We're going to do the demonstration in a little while. So you'll become, at least you'll start moving in the direction of becoming Bhakti Yoga cooks. And I tell you, if you don't like what we're going to cook, there's something wrong with you. Something really, really seriously wrong with you. Because it's really nice. It's amazing. So, yeah, so Bhakti Yoga includes these things. It includes physical exercises. Here we are, we have you sitting on the chairs. But In our bhakti yoga programs all over the world, and I travel all over the world. In a couple of weeks I'm going to Russia. Then I'm meant to go to Ukraine. I don't know if you keep up with the news. Russia just invaded Ukraine. Anyway. And I have to get a Ukrainian visa, but I may not need to because I'm getting a Russian visa that may be part of Russia by the time. So when we do these programs, these bhakti yoga programs all over, often with students, we have programs in, you know, basically all the major universities in South Africa and in America, Europe, and so on and so forth, India. So we also do the physical exercises. You're going to be doing programs like that. Yeah? There's the boss around here. So you can also get into that in the course of exploring bhakti yoga, which, you know, is broader and encompasses many different things. And through doing this, the idea is ultimately that we actually develop or even reawaken, redevelop our existing eternal relationship with God. Because it's all yoga, it's all linking with God in these different ways. You know, I don't want to, like I said, get too sort of philosophical or esoteric or specialized. But the basic idea, like really foundational idea in the Vedic scriptures, Vedic literatures, is that we are all eternal spiritual persons. And these bodies we have, they're actually vehicles. And we are, in fact, entities distinct from these bodies. We are as distinct from our bodies as you are distinct from me. Now, we're just individuals. We are not going to sort of merge and something like that. We're individuals. So similarly, we as eternal spiritual persons, we are really distinct entities, distinct beings from these bodies, although because of how we're brought up and just the environment and the atmosphere which is there and just the way people see things, generally everyone thinks, I am this body. You know, I am a white man. You're an young African woman. I'm older. And someone else is Indian, and etc., etc. This is how people identify. I am this or that in those terms. But the idea of yoga and all yogas, and particularly bhakti yoga, is to reawaken, really uncover that eternal spiritual nature, which is already there. Not to sort of acquire it and put it in there. It's already there. We are what we are eternally. But at this point, our real nature is covered over, and you know, we identify in these worldly ways. And then each one of us, as an eternal spiritual person, each one of us has an eternal relationship, personal relationship with God, who's a person. who's not just a big thing or just a big light or energy or even just love or something abstract, but who is a person as much as we are people, except he's a super person. Mm-hmm. And we are just little, little people. So this is an interesting point that we say, we are not these bodies. These bodies are like clothes. Today you have your black somatology uniform on, but on the weekend, you're not going to wear it, right? You're going to wear whatever you're going to wear, something. So it's not that you are Miss Black Clothes, and on Saturday you're going to be Miss Red Clothes. You are you, but the clothes change due to the different circumstances that we go through in the course of our lives. Yeah. Now, you know what I want to do now? Just to explore this point a little bit, I want to do a little demo to try to illustrate the point, demonstrate the point, how we are not these bodies. Okay. And you're all intelligent people, you're university students. You're sharp. Sharp, sharp. So I think you'll get it. I need a volunteer. I need an intelligent person who's a volunteer. I tell you what I'm going to do, you know? Do you want to volunteer? The gentleman with the black shirt there. You want to volunteer? Are you brave enough? Oh, okay, look, what happened? Come on. It's okay. It won't hurt. Hopefully you won't feel embarrassed. Just stand there. Yeah, face them. And what's your name? Astofile. Astofile. Excuse me. Okay. This is Astofile. You're a student, I guess. What you study? Okay. All right. So now, attention. Attention. All right. Give your attention, please. Now, point to your chest. There you go. Point to your head. Okay. Point to your left arm. He's intelligent, isn't he? Point to your right leg. Okay. All righty. Now, indicate your whole body. That's it. And where is your mind? Usually, yeah, that's where mine is. Okay, you ready? Now, point to you. That's your chest. It's okay. Okay, give it another try. Point to you. No. That's your chest.
Just point
to
it.
Exactly. You could. Some people, they go like this. You try to do that. No. That's your body. So you see. Okay. All right, you can sit down. Give it a round of applause. Did you get that? You get that? You see, it's a little subtle, and you may think it's almost, a little too subtle or nitpicky, but this is my chest, my head, my body. It cannot be mine and me at the same time. Am I right? It cannot be mine and me at the same time. But in life, people do not, they don't get this point. Although oftentimes they say, you know, my mind is in anxiety, oh my mind. Or, you know, my body is sick. Or, you know, my head hurts. People think like this. And actually what they're saying is that all these different things are mine, but then at the same time, they think they're me. And we would say, even, you know, in psychological terms, arguably, this is almost like a form of schizophrenia. Split personality, sort of two things at one time. So it's a very interesting little exercise. It's a very interesting little point if you think about it. And the... Are you going?
Yes, you're right. It's in the door.
Oh, no. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Go for it. Okay, I'm going to wind up in 1 or 2 minutes and start the cooking. Let's just conclude here by saying that this is a very foundational point in yoga. It's a spiritual process which is addressing us as spiritual beings, as eternal spiritual persons. And yoga, and particularly Bhakti yoga, which is, you know, more broader and more all-encompassing, as we said, it's really for bringing out our eternal nature and showing us who we really are. And in that way, helping us deal with life in correct terms, in objective terms. Yeah. So during the course of the year, you know, our programs will go on. We have a whole systematic program for developing these different themes I've just touched on, and exploring all these different themes. It's really interesting. So keep coming. And there are different, there's certain practices, different things you can do, which actually help sort of make it real, give you more and more experience of these things. In other words, it's not just some intellectual process, just some ideas, just philosophy, like that. Right, so there you get a very, very simple introduction to Bhakti Yoga. And now what we're going to do is, because eating food is part of it, it's part of the process, it's a whole way of life, we're going to teach you how to cook something. And as far as I'm concerned, and just about every person I ever met who's experienced what we're going to cook now, this is cool. I tell you what, this is just really cool. And it's really simple. And when you learn it, and you can learn it just like that, I can practically guarantee, if, you know, if you're staying in a place where you cook for yourself, you'll be cooking this regularly. And, okay, just last point before I get into it, is that because it's all about linking with God, cooking, eating in connection with God, what is cooked is offered to God. I'll show you how to do that too. It's also pretty simple, but it's an important part of it, to spiritualize it. We're connecting with God, we're connecting the food with God through offering it. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Okay. roll up the sleeves. And you know what? Yeah, let's move this forward. Yeah, move this forward. Oh, wait a minute. We're still going to have power. That's an extension.
We've got an extension cord. You can see on the screen. We've got an extension cord.
Exactly. All right, so here we go. And, you know, if you want to watch it, come up the front. And believe me, this is cool. This is just ultra cool. And you learn how to cook this. All of your friends will tell you you're ultra cool. So, this involves two parts. It involves, what is it now? It's basically 5 or 6 ingredients. It involves, you could make a note of this, or...
You guys have books in the provided packs?
Uh-huh.
So,
oh, you gave them?
Yes.
Wow.
And you have pencils in there, so if you guys don't have... can I have someone handing out packs to those that don't have?
Yes, you don't have...
Just put your hand up and wave it around. Yeah. No.
Thank you.
It's a warming up. All right, note this down, okay. Note this down. We have equal quantities. It could be anything. Now you could make 1 kilo, 1/4 kilo, 5 kilos, whatever it is. It's equal quantities of one, butter, here it goes. And you put the butter in one of the pots and you melt it. And then you have an equal quantity of semolina.
The spelling is on the board here.
Oh, look at that.
And we've got a picture of it.
What do you call it in Afrikaans?
Powder. Oh. I don't know.
Okay, anyway, semolina. You know what semolina is?
No.
What's semolina?
It's like mint something.
There's the spelling, okay.
That's it.
Oh, it's just, you know.
Take a picture of it.
It's in every supermarket on the planet, just about. Then, equal quantity of sugar. You heard of sugar? It's up to you. What we got white. Nice processed white sugar. So equal quantities, all right. Butter, semolina, sugar, and double quantity water. Okay, double. And this is the 1/2 kilo, yeah? Okay. Because I want to now, just to get it right, I would, and I'm sort of a perfectionist to some degree, but just so we get it accurate. So you see, so you got all the ingredients there, basically. This is our 1 liter, because in this case we're using half a kilo of the other things. So we use 1 liter of water, because you know how much 1 liter of water weighs. Do you know? It weighs 1 kilo. It's a little silence for you. So, okay. Double amount of water. You know, you can also use milk to make it richer, but the milk you have to stir, otherwise it may burn. And water you can just leave and it'll come to a boil of its own accord. And this thing's working, yeah? Okay. Okay. And then, you know, we also have, like, say, what would you say?
I'm
just thinking of the quantity. This is about, so 1 part butter, 1 part semolina, 1 part sugar, 2 parts water, and some raisins. You would have about, I would say, I mean, it's very flexible actually, but maybe 1/10 part. 1/10 part. And then there's a little vanilla, we're just going to use a teaspoon. Okay, so now the method. Two pots. One, we're boiling water, and you know, 1 liter of water, and you just let it go until it comes to the boil. And in the other pot, you melt the butter. You can do it on a high heat, because you just want to melt it. And you know, this is electrical, so it does take, it's a little slow, but anyway, it is in the process of melting. When it is melted, which is still going to take, I would say, plus or minus 2 minutes, soon as it's melted, we will put in the 1 part of semolina, and then we'll cook it up in the butter. And then, you know, that's sort of the process. At the end, when the water's boiling, when the semolina is cooked, then we'll add the sugar to the water, the water's boiling, add the sugar, stir in the sugar. Right at the end, we'll stick in the, in this case, raisins. You know, you can use dates, you can use sultanas, you can use mixed dried fruit, you can, it's very flexible. So we'll put them in at the end, in the boiling water, which already has the sugar. We'll put in a teaspoon of vanilla, and then we'll just mix everything together in the pot which the butter's in with the semolina. Okay, so now, here comes the semolina, folks. There it goes. 1 part semolina. Okay. 1 part semolina. Now, we have to be a little careful with this. It's on a high heat for melting the butter. We don't want it to burn. So you've got to stir this mixture, the butter and the semolina, on an ongoing basis, pretty much. At least keep an eye on it so it doesn't stick and burn. And we'll see how it goes. If it starts going a bit too fast, we'll turn the heat down. But right now it's on full blast. So anyway, this process here, we'll see how long it takes, but I would predict plus or minus 10 minutes, and you'll see that the semolina, which is sort of like, you know, a light yellow color, the mixture will become a little brown, like a light, very light brown. So here we go, we're cooking it up. And this is very nutritious. You know, in Bhakti Yoga, would you believe, not just Bhakti Yoga, but any form of yoga, vegetarianism is recommended. Yes. What do you think of that? Anyway, in this case, technically, lacto-vegetarianism means vegetarian plus milk. Right, lacto. So if at any point, if you want to get up and just have a look and see what we're doing, you can. Because we want you to sort of, you know, get the idea. But here you see the butter's all melted, semolina's in there, and it's still on full blast. Is that okay? It's still on full blast. We may have to turn it down. But anyway, for the time being, we're just stirring it. And, you know, it's under control, I'd say. So vegetarian, you might ask, why? Why vegetarian? Let's turn it down. Here we have, it goes up to 6. I've turned it down to 3. I've turned it down to 3, so halfway. So why vegetarian? Consider this. In physiological terms, you know, the anatomy of the human body, it appears to us, in yoga, the idea is taught that our bodies, in terms of the digestive system, our bodies have intestinal systems which are fairly typical of vegetarian animals, like, you know, like cows, and then different animals are just vegetarian, that's what they are. Vegetarian animals have long intestines. Did you know that? A lot longer than the body, a lot longer. Whereas carnivorous, like true carnivores, like lions and all that, they have very short intestines. It's basically, you know, from here to there, and that's it. Yeah. So the human body has a fairly typical type of vegetarian digestive system. Plus our teeth, we don't have the big canines. So it appears to us now bodies are designed to be vegetarian. Yeah. You know, on top of which, if you ever do a study of the subject, it's very interesting. In cultures which are traditionally vegetarian, like India, the culture is traditionally vegetarian, going back for hundreds of years, up until, you know, the first time I went to India was 1976, and at that time in India, you know, hundreds of millions of people, roughly 80% of the population was vegetarian. The times have changed, it's much less now due to the Western influence. But in that culture, things like heart disease were if not unknown, but really less, than in the Western cultures and the, you know, sort of like omnivorous cultures, because we're not really carnivorous humans, but more omnivorous. And things like different forms of cancer, or even, you know, cancer as such was practically unknown. And certainly the cancers of the digestive system, the colon, and the various other cancers of different parts of the digestive system were practically unknown. Interesting point. It's good for the health. Plus, you know what? Being vegetarian is cheaper. That's cool. That's really true. Being vegetarian is cheaper.
Is it not expensive?
And you know another thing? I don't know how many of you are from Christian backgrounds, or you know, you have an interest in Christianity. But if you know your Genesis, right? The first book. Then you'll see, you know what God says to Adam and Eve? He says, you look it up yourselves and you check. I'm not just, you know, bluffing you. He says, for you, I have provided the grains and the seed producing plants. This is what he says. You look it up yourselves and check. And you'll see, it's a fact. And you know, later, maybe after Noah's Ark or something like that, somehow or other they got into meat eating. And don't worry, if you become vegetarian, don't worry, you're going to become like a skinny weakling. Elephants are vegetarian. Staunch vegetarians. Bulls. You know, balls take on a ball, you know. Staunch vegetarians. And there's one friend of mine, very good friend of mine from New York. And, you know, now he's an older person like me. But when he got into Bhakti Yoga, like almost 50 years ago, he was the New York heavyweight amateur wrestling champion. And you know, he's a really big, tough guy. And really big. And he was vegetarian. And one gentleman who was like a meat-eating fanatic, he really felt, you know, you should just eat meat for, you know, morning cup of tea, have eat some meat. Afternoon tea, eat some meat with it. He was so much into it. And he came and met our guru, our teacher, back in those days, like almost 50 years ago, 45 years ago. He was trying to say that, look, you know, people should eat meat, otherwise they'll become skinny and weak and all that sort of thing. And so our teacher pointed to this, the heavyweight wrestling champion, and said, you see him? He's vegetarian. You see him? He's vegetarian. He can kill you with one hand. The man has a message. So anyway, look, see, things are progressing here. We're doing nicely. It's coming on. It's still kind of yellow, but there's definitely been a little bit of change of tone of the color. Water is, you know, it's thinking about boiling. But, you know, it's electrical, so it tends to be slower. But it is, I mean, it's starting to boil, so we're doing okay, it's not bad. This here as you can see, the method is so simple. You just keep stirring a bit every now and then. You can also leave it occasionally for a little while. And it just kind of does its own thing. And we will now, I think this is the half, right? Okay, here goes the sugar. You know, we would encourage you to use brown sugar or something a little more healthy, but anyway, such is life. And then, of course, we have to stir in the sugar. That's child's play. Stir in the sugar a bit. And like I said, you can use milk if you prefer, if you want it a bit richer. You can even add cream. It's flexible. There's room for creative thinking. So that's going on, and this here, the grains, the semolina, it's doing its thing, it's okay. It's pretty cool. It's on, see I've got it on half level, the grains. The water, of course, is just full blast all the way. But the grains initially was full just to melt and get things started. And then I turned it down to 3. So we just mix in the sugar so it's completely dissolved. Do we have a picture of Krishna somewhere for doing an offering?
Yes, we do.
Okay. You can get it ready, Will. We're getting there. We are getting there. And so far what? About 15 minutes? I think it's been about 15 minutes so far, the whole process. Okay, so sugar is now melted in. Semolina, well, it's coming along as usual. And I'm actually going to turn the heat up to 5 just to sort of finish it off. And I will be adding a teaspoon of vanilla, but just at the end. Oh, look at that. This is our main mantra. Mantra, sound, spiritual sound for delivering the mind from anxieties and worldly concerns and all that. And it's spiritual. You know, generally, like people like music, songs, Top of the Pops, and all that, and something's top of the hit parade for a week or two or three, or you know, occasionally maybe for a month, and then people get a little tired and something new comes along, and it's hard. Can you imagine listening to the same song every day for like an hour, for say 10 years, an hour? Some, you know, some what you call it, house music. Can you imagine? Because it's material. And because it's material, you can't have it just like constantly. You've got to have a change. Because it's material. This is spiritual. Now this is, yeah, it's getting a little darker now. We're making progress here. I'm really happy with this. You know, I've been chanting this mantra that you see on this banner here. I've been chanting this mantra, would you believe, I'd say, for about at least 2 hours a day. for the last 41 years. How old are you?
30.
A youngster. I'm 62. Yeah, so I've been chanting this for at least two to three hours every day, and I mean actually every day, since January 1973. Where were you in January 1973? And I can tell you frankly that I'm not sick of it. I'm not tired of it. But actually, it gets better all the time. Okay, so here. Oops. There's some vanilla. Just one sort of approximate teaspoon, give or take. And the grains, you can see now, the grains are really frothing up like mad. We are there. Ladies and gentlemen, we are there. And I put the raisins in, they're sort of swelling up a bit with the water. Everything looks pretty good. Now comes a slightly dramatic part. Oops. Maybe could you do it? Yeah. We're going to lift up this and pour the water and the raisins, which has the sugar mixed in with it and a little vanilla, pour it into the grains, and it's going to sort of bubble and get a bit excited. So brace yourselves. Whoa! Keep going. Yay! Okay, and it all goes in. Turn it right over. Yes, wow, fantastic. And get every last raisin. Don't waste any raisins. Okay, now I'm going to turn the heat up a bit just to accelerate the process. And now you just mix it in. How's that? Pretty simple. We just mix it in. And the semolina is absorbent. It will absorb the water. And we will be left with a sort of soft cake type of consistency. Anyway, you'll see. Because you know what you're going to have to do after this. After we've offered it to God, you're going to have to eat it. Okay? Are you ready? So anyway, we're just mixing it in here so it all comes together. And you know, look at that. And just keep it on level 3. And it is coming. It is becoming semi-solid. Wow. Fantastic. Oops, and we can turn that on. Now, we're going to offer it to God in about 1 minute, approximately 1 minute. See the consistency of it now? See this? It's almost like a semolina pudding, but it's different. It's richer. So now I'm going to turn it right off and offer it to God and just let the rest sit here. Thank you. Can I, do you think I can put the hot pot on that? Is it okay? It won't burn anything? No, we don't. It just, yeah. Well, it looks really nice. Must have that. It just looks super different. Oh, no, hang on. No, no, it's all right. So, offering to God, look. This is, you know, something you're not familiar with, but this is a picture of Krishna, of God here. And we're going to put a little bit from the pot in here, put it in front of the picture of Krishna, and chant the mantra and a couple of other mantras. This is our way of offering. And all of you, you know, as you get into Bhakti Yoga more, you can do this yourselves. It's very simple. And it just adds a nice spiritual element. It's not going to damage your things. Okay. All right, and this, yeah, right. And that goes there. Just put the top on it for the time being. Okay, and here we go. This is now the offering process. I'm going to chant a few mantras. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Sarvaniti Namne. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Sarvaniti Namne. Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Sarvaniti Namne. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Charitam Vishesha Shunyavadi Vasta Chayadishtarne. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Charitam Vishesha Shunyavadi Vasta Chayadishtarne. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Charitam Vishesha Shunyavadi Vasta Chayadishtarne. Namo Mahavad Naya Krishna Vedrayan Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namaste Krishna Together, Jai Krishna, I go the night long. Namo Brahmani, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For yourselves, if any of you would like to try to offer things, all you can do as a very simple offering is just put the food in front of a picture of Krishna and just chant this mantra 3 times. It's a very simple way of offering to God. Question, yes.
What does this mean?
Okay, what does it mean? Yeah, well, Krishna is a name of God in Sanskrit. It means the all-attractive person. He who has all attractive qualities in full. And Rama is another name of God in Sanskrit. Means the source of all pleasure. And Hare is, you could say, like an appeal. Specifically, please engage me in your service. So the mantra means, in essence, we're appealing to God, please engage me in your service. I'm your eternal servant. Please re-engage me in your service. That's the basic idea. Yeah. Oh, they have, eh? Look, in your packs. See, you've got this mantra right there. You all got it. So, and there's a little explanation on the back also. So, you're pretty well equipped there. Okay, so what's next? Team? Boss?
It's hard, I guess.
Is it? Okay. Do we have more, or is this what we have?
We've got more.
Oh, we've got more.
We've got more prepared outside. So this was the demo. Don't worry, we've got plenty for everybody.
Okay, so now the offering is finished. We pour it back. There it goes. And come and have a look if you want. And otherwise, there you go.
Thank you to everybody, firstly, for coming. It was such a huge honor and privilege having you guys here to listen to our talk and witness the cooking demo. I mean, any function is only a success because of the people that attend the function, and that's you guys. So can you guys give yourselves a round of applause? Yeah. So we put together the Bhakti Yoga Society for at UJ, DFC. We put together a very nice pack for you guys. So as you guys already know, we gave you guys notebooks. I hope you guys were writing down the preparation and ingredients and stuff. We've given you a book as well, Chant and Be Happy. This is our founder, Charya Srila Prabhupada. He's authored it. So please read it, and if you have any questions, we're in room 12. That's our room. And stay tuned for more of our sessions. Going through the pack again, like Maharaj has said, we've given you a nice, it's like a bookmark, kind of keyring thing, depending on how you want to use it. It's got the Maha Mantra in the front, and at the back it's got the explanation fully explained. But that's not all. Moving on, we've got an info booklet. So that's explaining what the Bhakti Yoga Society is, and giving you our Facebook details there, as well as our email addresses. So we really look forward to communication for you guys. And no, I'm not done. We've given you a keyring as well. So there's a keyring in there saying BYS. Why? Bhakti Yoga Society, BYS. And lastly, we've given you a pencil to write everything down. So once again, thank you to His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami for leading today's demonstration and talk. And if everybody has any further questions, please feel free to email us. Thank you to the media, Google from the UJ Observer and the communications team. And yeah, let's go have some prasad. Prasad is what we call food afterwards.
Can't eat in here, is it?
We can.
Okay.
We can. You can bring your food back inside.
Okay. I'd like to try a little.
Yeah, sure.
Can I? I must eat. Mm-hmm. I get it. Yes. Here we go, folks. The cook is going to try his cooking.
And? If everybody can go outside, we've set up for the prasad. Make sure you guys give us your details. We've got a contact list and also a separate list on how to improve our sessions. So details and how to improve. You guys can come back inside. Brother, we've got the table top in the room. Do you want to put it on the table? I think so. The table's put on the table. I've got it in the box next to you. Yeah, there you go. Thanks for coming.
I'll see you.
Thank you so much. Please pour yourself some lunch. If you have enough, I mean, if you need any more info, whatever, just email me to my personal email address.
Okay.
Instead of the. Should I come? Yeah, oh yeah, at that email.
Cool.
How do I get the pictures?
Tomorrow would be like a little bit of like half an hour lecture before the class, and we outside to students into to dance and sing. That's what it will be like for the movie.
Yeah. Thanks for
we can't wait to try it out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm going to take the chair to the room.